Hello and welcome to Nobody's Left Behind. I'm Kat.
And I'm Kaylin.
And happy Valentine's Day. We're recording the night before Valentine's Day and it's hectic. It is so hectic. Anyway, also, if you're watching the video, we're decked out in Valentine's Day attire. I'm wearing pink. My mic is pink. My bottle is pink. And Kaylin is wearing Kaylin is wearing red glasses with like red heart glasses.
Love.
Anyway, so for our episode today, we're talking about how to survive a breakup, whether it's your first breakup, another breakup, or if it's like a meaningful breakup, whatever. So welcome. And also, this is the first episode of our Love Club segment. All February long. Well, it is halfway through February, but it's okay. You guys gonna get
better late love than never.
Exactly. Honestly, we're gonna be talking about love no matter what, like Valentine's Day or not. So anyways. How many breakups have you gone through, Miss Kaylin?
I've gone through three. All have been pretty rough.
Okay.
And I think two were where I was broken up with, and then one where I did the breaking up with. What about you?
I have gone through two. The first one was really, really bad. I mean, I'm honestly glad you did not know me when I went through that breakup, bitch, because that was like the worst thing on earth. Like, the people who were in my life after that breakup don't know how they're still here, honestly. Like, I was just not me. Thank the Lord. He broke up with me also, by the way, the first breakup. The second breakup, I broke up with him. I was really sad in the way that I think we've talked about this before, where we break up with someone where it's just the better decision, and that's not the easiest thing to do sometimes, because I kind of feel like if you wait in between, like, oh, things are going to get better, it kind of starts to get toxic, you know? Mm-hmm. But snip, it wasn't too bad. I just felt bad, if I'm being honest with you, but it's better now. We haven't spoken in a really long time. But we'll get into that. But what would you say was your greatest heartbreak from the three?
I think the first is always the hardest.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
I think the first was definitely, because we broke up twice. We broke up and then 7 months later got back together and then broke up again after that. And so I think because he was on my first, you know, I had so much of my emotions invested in him and invested in the relationship, and it was my first experience with it. I think I had a really hard time letting go. And so I think the whole relationship was hard, but, you know, I think the breakup I took a lot harder just because it's not something that I had gone through before. And on top of that, you know, he was on my first. It's like big, like monumental thing, and now it's over, you know?
Yeah. I kind of, that's the same exact thing for me. I kind of feel like there's such a, it's just so overrated, your firsts. Because let's be honest here, your first love, chances of you guys getting married and staying together or not experiencing hardships is like extremely rare. But my first was just so, it was really hard. Like, and it was the same thing for me. He was all of my firsts. And also, we obviously have kids together, so it never gets easy. But I kind of feel like it was just recently where it started getting easy. But, you know, we were also really on and off. I mean, all throughout our relationship, we were on and off. And I feel like I should have taken that as like the fucking red flag, bitch, right then and there. But we were on and off for, I mean, the whole entire time, basically. Who's calling us?
Oh, you heard that? You can hear that?
Yeah.
It's Ari.
Miss Ari girl. Okay, Ari is one of our bestie girls, a part of our friend group. We're called BBO.
She has an interview tomorrow, but
okay.
I'll call her.
Oh, good luck to her, honestly. But yeah, that's pretty much my greatest heartbreak, honestly. But what was it like going through your breakup? What'd you say?
I think it was really confusing because it wasn't like I actually feel like all breakups are kind of like this, where you end things, but it's not really over yet. So the whole process was really confusing for me, because he would say like, okay, things are done, and then he would come back and then not want to get back together, but you know,
still want to be around,
and then he would leave again and then come back. And so it was always this constant, we're broken up, but it still feels like we're in a relationship. What is this? What are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, what's the next step? How do I define what this is? Because my feelings are getting hurt every time he leaves, and then he comes back and leads me on, and then it's this whole process all over again. And so I think the whole thing for me was very confusing, very upsetting. It really made me kind of doubt my worth and really lowered my confidence a lot, because when he would leave, it would be other girls, you know what I mean, like other girls in the rotation. And so every time he would come back to me, I'd be like, am I not good enough for you to just stay with me? You know, why are you going out and trying all these other things with all these other people? Then you're always coming back to me. So what is it about me that's not good enough for you to stay consistent with, to where you're realizing after you've been with however many people that, oh, maybe I might be the one? And why is it happening so often, you know?
Yeah.
But I think in the moment, those weren't things that I was necessarily thinking about. In the moment, it was more so like, I'm so hurt by all actions. Know what I mean? And so those weren't questions that I had thought to ask at the time. And I feel like those are things that you kind of learn along the way. And with your first, it's hard because you don't really have a basis for how, like, right way things should be done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that you put it that way, that like it just made you question your worth. And I feel like with our first loves or our first heartbreak, it is so hard to remember your worth and to remember that you're just not a second option. Like, why would you ever ask or wonder why someone is not staying? And I feel like that's just something that we go through or that we learn later on, you know? But I was the same exact way. Like, I was so... Oh my God. I knew, like you said, how your man, ex-man, was just like, it was because of another woman or another girl was why he was coming in and out. And it was the same thing for me. I knew that he was talking to other girls, but I just didn't care, period. I didn't care what he was doing, who he was having sex with, or whatever was going on. If he was around me, if he was talking to me, that's all that it was. That's all that mattered. And it was the worst feeling, and it led me to like this feeling of desperation, terrible desperation. Like, what can I do to get him to be around me? And it was also a lot of gaslighting that went on and just toxic abusive behavior, but that I fed into. He literally isolated me from my friends to the point where I just didn't have any, and he was just my reason for my existence at that point. And so I had no self-worth. I didn't feel deserving of something better. I didn't want to go find anything better. And it was so dark. And I remember waking up, and I still have a journal. I'm so about journaling, bitch, also, by the way. But I remember I had a journal specifically for that breakup. And I just remember every day that I would wake up, I would say it was like 50% depression and then 50% anxiety. Like, I would wake up and it was just tied to my chest. It was like a weight sitting on my chest, and I felt the itch to talk to him. It was just a level of like trauma bonding, like to the max. And I felt this attachment that I just couldn't cut off. That was just something I struggled with all through, you know, even my early 20s, you know what I mean? Because, you know, for obvious reasons. But it was really dark, bitch. It was dark. And I remember before, they would always say, like, your first heartbreak, you'll do stupid things, and you'll look back and you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. Because you're just so focused in the moment. Like, you're so focused on the pain and the desperation for this person about the heartbreak, and you literally think that that's your whole entire world. The sense of time moves so slow. They're like, oh, in a week from now you'll feel better. I'm like, bitch, I can barely get through the hour.
Yeah,
30 minutes. You know, it was a dark road. But did they ever tell you about the rule, after relationship rule?
No.
What? Like, did you ever ask yourself, how long is it going to take for me to get over him? I would search this up on YouTube, like, how to get over your ex. Because, bitch, I was desperate. I was desperate to get over this man. And I was just like, how to get over your ex? And everywhere that I looked, it was always like half of the duration that you were together. So if you were together for a year, 6 months. If you were together for 2 years, a year. Three, a year and a half. So on and so forth, you know? And I will say, very true. Very, very true. I don't know about you. Can you agree to that?
I don't think so. I only think that because I think by the time things were over in my relationships, our relationship had gotten to a point so far past any type of like reconciliation, like relationship, not just romantically, but platonically, like weren't even my friend anymore. So I feel like by the time we broke up, there was nothing left for me to kind of want for, if that makes sense. Like, I think I had been so checked out for so long that by the time things were over, it was kind of just like, all right, like, next, you know, like, all the feelings that I would feel after a breakup, I felt in the relationship towards the end. And so then when things ended, me moving on was like, all right, like, I already felt what I needed to feel. I was sad already. I was mad already. What's next? Because I don't want to feel like this anymore. You know what I mean? And so I think that's the only reason why. I think if we had cut things off earlier to where we could still be cordial and friendly, then I feel like that would be different. Or if we cut things off where I still felt as in love as I did in the beginning, I feel like then at that point, it would probably take just half as long as the relationship for me to get through it.
Mm. And I feel like it's also really confusing when you keep hanging out or keep talking post breakup, quote unquote. Are you really getting over it? I feel like that part, it really doesn't count until it's done. Like, no contact point, you know?
Hold on, I just gotta take these glasses off. The red is killing my eyes here. No, but I agree. After this last breakup, this most recent breakup, I ended up seeing a video talking about post-breakup. And they were basically like, the 2 weeks post breakup is when you have the highest chances of getting back together. And so they were like, for those 2 weeks, be no contact. And then after those 2 weeks, if you want to go back and have a conversation and have that closure, then go ahead and do that. But it's not as likely of you two getting back together if it's after that 2 weeks, because you've both had time to really think about your decisions and decide if this is really what you want to not be together, or maybe what you really want is to be together and you've had that 2 weeks to really think it over and come back with like a clear head. But I do agree, and I think that's why a lot of times couples get back together so quickly, is because they always get back together in that 2 week time frame.
And even within 2 weeks, I fucking swear, some people be getting back together 3 times in 2 weeks. And then it becomes so bumpy. But you know what? I wish that that happened. Because you know what? I have not heard that one. And that's a really good one. The 2 week thing. Because if I could turn back, I remember the first time that my first boyfriend broke up with me, I was heartbroken. We got together in July, and then by December or January, it was undone. But in the in between, or the first 2 weeks of January, was really hard because he was so set on not getting back together, or like that first couple of days. And then the first week of January, I had confirmation. And so for those that don't know, basically, like, if the last touch of confirmation, you have to go to a retreat. So you're there for 3 days, 2 nights. And I remember going there and just being so heartbroken. And they used to be really strict about not taking your phone. But I was like, you know what? My little sister came with me, and I had a lot of friends who were there. So I was like, I'm not bringing my phone. I'm going to focus strictly on myself and on my relationship with God and with Jesus. And I remember, first of all, that was the best retreat of my life. Like, I don't want to turn this into a religious part, but the first night there was like reading stories, and there was a guy, a man, he was like an old man, like white hair old. And he was just like, I want all of you to close your eyes. And he said, if you have not experienced love, or if you have, I pray that you experience nothing but good love. And he was like, and if you have experienced love, I want you to remember that it's supposed to heal you. It's supposed to protect you. It's supposed to. And I literally, with my eyes closed, I was just in tears, bitch. Luckily, people's eyes were closed, because literally I was crying. And then there was another story where this lady basically got married, and she was at my older sister's confirmation camp too. Basically, the bitch got married, and then like her husband woke up the next day and looked at her and said, what the fuck did I just do? What the fuck did I just do marrying you? And all of us were like, jaw to the floor, a pin could drop and you could hear it. Like, it was just so. But I remember I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing loving somebody that doesn't love me, doesn't love God, like all this shit. And I was ready. I was like, I'm gonna move on, whatever. I was ready. I was having the time of my life, bitch. I was like dancing in parking lots with my friends. Like, I was driving at this point, and I was just living my life, going to parties and talking to boys again, whatever. And then he hit me up, and then, bitch, I folded, bitch. I remember I was getting my blood drawn, and I was like, we need to talk, which I shouldn't have. You should no contact, like, think clearly for 2 weeks, and it gives you the chance to just reflect. I feel like people think of that and just think of, oh my God, I can't talk to him. I want to talk to him, you know, or I wonder what he's doing. Cause those thoughts would kill me, bitch. I don't know about you, but
yeah. I didn't have to wonder. I could just look at social media and see exactly who it was he was with. So I never had to wonder.
Did he block you?
No. That's like a big thing too. That's like a big thing that I've never participated in. And
really?
People that I've dated haven't participated in. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, did you ever do psycho shit?
No.
Ah.
No.
Oh my God, I wish.
I subtweeted him once. And then he did called he react? Me out for it. I was like,
ew.
I was like, oh, it's funny how you're constantly preaching about how a woman should be treated, but you don't even know how to treat one yourself. And then he texted
Damn.
Me. He was like, was that about me? And I was like, if the shoe fits, I mean, you can't sit here and deny to me that you outwardly, you know,
yes.
preach about how a woman should be treated, yet you're behind closed doors, you're doing XYZ to me.
Treating women like shit.
Right. But I think that was like the craziest thing I'd done. That was the one and only time I'd ever subtweeted anybody. And then after that, I was like, okay, it's
That's
not
so
for
funny.
Me. But yeah, I've never been blocked. I've never had to. Well, after this most recent one, I did block him. But that's for valid reasons, I feel like. But
he was being stupid.
Yeah.
Were your other exes like trying stupid shit on you in between the breakup? Besides him being
no.
like, oh, I want to get back together type shit. Oh, so they wouldn't be toxic?
The first one, we broke up a handful off and on. And we would break up. And then the following week, it'd be like every single day he was texting me. Other than that, though, he wasn't really doing anything crazy.
I wish. I get blocked. Bitch, I was texting from different numbers. I'm that crazy bitch. I will say here right now, I will admit, I'm no angel. Yes, my baby daddy treated me like utter shit, but you know, I did some crazy shit too. I remember the first subtweet. I think this is like one of the only subtweets that I ever did my senior year. I remember I like did maybe like two or three or four quotes that he would always use on me, bitch. Oh, we're just friends. Oh, she needed help with homework. Oh, we're in the same class together. And I put that all in quotes. I'll send you the picture, bitch. I still have it. Because it got so many retweets and likes. And I was like, oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't have done that because our circles run close. But literally, as I quoted that, it was like two pictures of me being like, and holding a knife. Maybe
is,
I should find
so
it and post it on our Instagram.
You. Yeah, you should.
I know. You see, you like, should. I wish I was like you, though. Just like silence, like backing out. I mean,
it leads to like, and I know we had this conversation too, because let me just say this most recent breakup that I went through was probably the toughest. And I feel like I've been through the ringer when it comes to relationships, but I feel like this mm-hmm. most recent one was the worst. When we had broken up, I remember, you know, I've never been the type of person to really go crazy on social media. I've never blocked them. I did the one subtweet and that was it. And mm-hmm. I remember we were having a conversation and I was just telling you after this most recent breakup, I'm just so angry. Like, I am so angry just with him, angry about the situation. Mm-hmm. And I want people to know what he did. I want people to know what kind of person he is. Like, I want to ruin his career. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't get to move on and live this happy-go-lucky life after everything that he did to me. And I remember having this conversation and you were like, I think it's okay to feel that way, but I think it's good that you're not acting on it. You know what I mean? Because I think I've always also been the type of person who consciously protects their reputation. So a lot of the time, a lot of people don't really know the things that I what have happened? Gone through in those relationships because I've made that conscious decision to kind of protect their reputation. But with this one, I was like, I want people to know.
If you want to do, like, to, you know, take it that measure and take that step, go ahead. You know what I mean? Because it is, like, it's serious, you know? But I mean, like, petty shit. Like, petty shit. I mean, unless you want to do petty shit, too.
I mean, I feel like you talked me off the ledge. And so I didn't end up doing anything that I would regret. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so, yeah, but I know.
I think maybe just a time of clarity. Just clarity first before you want to make a move. But I'm standing behind you, bitch. You want to take them down? Take his ass down. Shit. Don't give shit.
Oh, if people only knew.
I know. If only.
Also, okay, side note. I remember we talked about this, too, because I was like, what do you think? What do you think he tells people when they ask why we broke up?
I honestly, Queen, like, I think that he tells people that you cheated.
I think so,
too. Or, like,
too.
That you were, or that you just weren't loyal. Whether that be so you not listening to him, following his rules that he'd fucking put on you. I feel like that's what it was.
Preface this also, too, by saying, and I don't mean this in the way that, like, you know, you have to tell people that that's how you are. You're not actually that way. Let me just, this is the one and only time I'm ever going to say this. I am loyal to a T. I am probably the most loyal person you will ever meet. I'm loyal to friends. I'm loyal in my relationships. Mm-hmm. And so for him to insinuate that I did something disloyal to him was, like, the most, like, hurtful thing.
That I think that's what hurts you, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then for him to turn around and use that as the reason why things didn't work out between us, knowing full and well what that reason was. Just like.
But you know what, Queen? Like, you know what happened. He knows. But honestly, he's just so sick and twisted in his own brain. He'll believe what he wants. But we all know the truth. Like, the people that love you and care for you, we know the truth. And so, middle fingers up. What's the Beyonce line?
I don't know, but speaking of Beyonce, did you see she released a country song?
No.
Yes.
Give me a song. I wish we downloaded that so I can, like, play it.
It's called Texas Hold'em.
It's hours ago. Oh, shit. Can you hear it? Can you hear my mic?
Yeah.
Oh, my fuck, it is. Now, let's get to the most important part. Yeah, I like that. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
But how long would you say it got for you? At least maybe let's say ramen head boy. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get over him? If you could actually put it into numbers.
After last breakup, things ended forever. Mm-hmm. Like 4 months.
And how long were you together for?
I was already 2 years.
Okay. But like you said, you were clocking out.
Yeah, 4 months out. I was talking to somebody new, my next boyfriend, actually. And then he came back and he was.
He tried?
Yeah, he tried coming back. And then he like got all weird. Like, we were having a conversation in person and then he like insinuated something like sexual. And I was like, oh, I'm talking to so-and-so now. And he looked me dead in the eye and was like, I don't feel good. I have to go home. Bye. And he turned around and left.
He just wanted to fuck. Just say that, bro. Just say you just wanted to get a little action. Mm-hmm. I just... Mm-hmm. Why can't men just be honest? Who knows? I don't get it. Anyway, but I don't know. I can't put it into numbers, like how long it took me to get over. It was in 2020 for me where I was like, donezo. We didn't talk for a year. No contact for a year. And that felt good. That was the best, like as far as emotionally goes, that was really good for in relations to him. But we were together, bitch, I don't even know how long we were together for because it was just so on and off. All together, it was from when we were 16. And then to when, because even though we broke up, like, I still really did love him. Like, from when we were 14 till, or 16 to, how old was I in 2020? I was 23. So a very long time, bitch. A very, very long time. But it's just different when you have kids. But it did take me a long time, but it was because I just did not give myself the moment to just be like, enough is enough, call it quits.
But you know? It's also hard to kids, when you have kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But him being in the military really did help because he's just not here. And I feel like it would have been a lot harder if he was here. And I'm glad now that I can say that he was in the military and he did what he did because it helped me get over him. Mm-hmm. Even though bitch took a long fucking time. But I can say now it's free of any of those kinds of emotions, bitch. Thank the Lord. But anyways, how did you take, like, when he started dating again? It can be any of your exes, too.
I think it's the same for all three, actually. I didn't really care.
I love that.
With the first one, he... Mm-hmm. I mean, he slept with all my friends. And so seeing him with somebody else...
That is sick.
At that time, it was like, oh, what's new? I've already seen this. I've already gone through this. You know,
yeah,
what I
was
mean?
An ick and I, at that point.
And I did it with my friends. So mm-hmm. I don't care if you're dating someone random now. You know what I mean? And then the second one, he started dating someone new the same week we broke up, like a couple of days later. And mm-hmm. I found... My second ex.
Oh, okay.
And I found out through social media. And then we ended up meeting in person, like, towards the end of that week. And he was like, oh, I'm sure you've heard already. And what made me upset the most about that situation wasn't that he was dating somebody new. It was that he didn't have the courtesy to tell me first before he took it to social media in such a short time frame from when we had broken up, because obviously like people we run in the same circles, you know, we're still in touch with a lot of people from our high school. And I think at that time too, I also was very aware of other people's perceptions of me. I was very worried about what people thought about me. And so I was like, I would have appreciated you telling me before you posted about it. And I feel like that is just a sign of respect, and I feel like you not doing that kind of solidified my thinking that you didn't really respect me throughout our relationship already. And you mm-hmm. doing this kind of proves that you didn't. You know what I mean? You didn't take into account how I would feel about the situation. You didn't take into account to maybe mm-hmm. have a conversation with me about it first. So it wasn't so mm-hmm. much about the girl. It was more so just about the principle of it.
How he handled it, yeah.
Yeah. And then the most recent one, who cares? As long as he's not in my life. As long as I don't have to deal with him anymore. Thank God he found somebody else, you know? I like, good luck to her. And sure. I remember when I first found out about it, Mackenzie had told me, or Cam had told me, and then Mackenzie had talked to me about it when they found out. And then that's how I found out, because they found out through social media. And I remember telling Mackenzie, like, something along the lines of, like, I hope that queen knows what she's getting herself into or something like that, or like gets herself out if things get too bad or whatever, you know what I mean? And she was like, Mackenzie was like, you have a nice way of putting things. And I was like, I just think I am so done with him. Like, I'm done hearing about him. I'm done dealing with him. Like, I'm just
and
at
he
this
also
point,
by the way
so...
just a little he would watch Kaylin's stories knowing damn well he didn't even follow her friends.
No, he would watch my friends' stories of me.
And he didn't follow them. Like Mackenzie.
Yeah. He also and would Cam? Like, yeah. Well, no, he followed Cam.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, I was yeah. like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because we were all
like,
friends
that first. Is bold. That is bold.
Yeah. Like, he also watched my location all the time. He did some crazy things. He had done some crazy things. So when I found out about that, I was more so like, as long as it's not me, you know?
Thank God.
As long as he's like, off my, out of my hair.
No, I was scared for you. Like, genuinely. Yeah. I was taking him as like a guy to like show up at your doorstep. Like, I felt like if you did not end it when you did, he would have been at your door. He would have been, you know, trying to get into your house. Like, I don't know. That's just how I take him. Like, even though he seems calm, no. Like, just behind closed doors, like,
yeah,
no.
I was worried about that. I remember, like, the first couple of times that we had gone out after the breakup, I was worried that I would walk out and he would be parked in front of my house. Or that I would, like, we would be out somewhere and I would just see him, like, at the place that we were at. Like, I was worried about that happening.
Just it didn't happen.
Right. It didn't happen. Or mm-hmm. as far as I know, I never saw him or anything like that. So it didn't happen. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he was there. Could have been there. We just didn't know.
Just so happened. Bitch. Right. I didn't even think about that, bitch.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know, bitch. I was crazy as fuck. So I just was not about to have it. Also,
I feel like it was
background.
Also different for you with your baby daddy.
Yeah.
He got married. So it wasn't just that he found... found a new girl.
Queen,
he
let me just
her.
Say that. Let me just talk about that. That was one of the most heart-wrenching things that I've ever gone through. And I've lost my mom. Like, I feel like, you know, obviously losing my parent was, that's a different layer. You know, it's different when it's someone that still is alive, that you love. It's a different kind of love. You know what I mean? And I had kids with this person. But I remember that I was with my friend when it happened, because I made an Instagram for the kids and his family followed it. And I made this dumb mistake of following them back just because I wanted to. But at that point, I shouldn't have. But bitch's sister reposted like a story of him, and he never did those things for me. He never took me out. I mean, he did, but like not in that way. And He basically like did it at a beach, and he like put flowers, and he wore Sperry's and a button up. And I was like, you have Sperry's? Like, I didn't even know he had Sperry's. I was like, that is weird. Like, the fact that you got dressed up like in clothes that you would have never gotten dressed up for me for. And he did that, and they got married. And that I remember just like, I couldn't even brush my hair. I was just so sad. Like, I couldn't even get out of bed. I couldn't breathe. I was so sad. And like, so I wasn't even mad. I was just sad. And that's like a movie, bitch. That was a movie. I thought that's just some shit like 30 and 40 year olds go through. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this motherfucker just like, who I thought was my true love. Well, he was my first love, but like my true love proposing to somebody else. Like, that was the worst and heart gut wrenching thing ever. But honestly, she saved a bitch, because my dumbass would have totally had done it, and he wouldn't have brought me out there. I wouldn't have seen a dime from, you know, the marital spouse income, whatever you get. Like, he would have done me so much more dirtier, bitch. We probably would have had 3 kids at this point. Like, so it was a blessing in disguise, but it was tough. And I remember always, like, before her too, like, I remember just like looking through his followers, making fake accounts, like, that's just the lick, bitch. I've done crazy ass shit, like, after he, you know, got into new relationships and whatever. But anyways, enough about men, about us. The person who may have gotten broken up with, or the person that had to dump him. When do you think is too soon to start dating again?
I think it depends. I think
if you're clocked out.
A standard, like, couple months. Whether you're clocked out or not, I feel like just out of respect for the other person, whether they deserve that or not, I think a couple months is a pretty good time frame if you're ready for it. But I feel like a big thing is people have a hard time differentiating between I'm ready for another relationship or I'm ready for a rebound. And you usually don't know that until you're with another person and you're like, oh, actually, like, I don't want a relationship.
Torture.
You know,
and also, queen, you know, It's hard to expect what you say, but I couldn't give a damn. If I want to go date, I'm gonna go date. You know what I mean? Obviously, like, if it was a healthier relationship, I guess. But, like, obviously, it's just, like, in the terms of if you make another person look stupid. But it's, like, also, it's just, like, date when you want to date. But it's just also, like you said, being respectful. But it's just, like, breakups are a breakup. You know what I mean? I just feel like when you are going about it, if you are disrespecting yourself, that's when it's, like, okay. Hold on. And I feel like people don't even know that they're doing that, because until they're in a relationship, like, I don't know about you, but like when you try talking again to another person after dating, it's torture, because all you can do is like remember the other person. Whenever you're taken out on a date, you just see, like, you know, where you went out, you know. And also, like, I won't lie, like, it does make you kind of look stupid, like, if you, especially people who, like, if it was a messy breakup, and then all of a sudden you're out with somebody new. Also, again, like, fuck what people think, but also it's just like, babe, bear yourself. Do yourself a favor. Don't.
Casually dating, I feel like it's casually, okay. If you want to jump into that right away, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, everyone kind of needs something every now and then to take their mind off whatever. As long as both parties kind of know what it is, cool.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, as far as getting into another relationship, I feel like that takes time. And yes, out of respect for both parties, but also too, whether you went through something traumatic in that relationship or not, after you break up, you kind of want to have time to process that.
Yeah.
Process your actions, process the other person's actions, and then also kind of formulate this idea of, okay, now this is what I'm looking for. Now I know this doesn't work for me. That's going to be a boundary for me. This is what I'm going to do moving forward. And I feel like that is what comes with in that time frame of you kind of waiting to get into another relationship, or even with you casually dating after your breakup. These are all things that you kind of learn along the way. And I feel like giving yourself enough time to really work through those things, then gives you more of a clean slate going into the next relationship, where you're kind of leaving all that trauma, all those insecurities behind, because now you know your worth. Now you know your morals and your values and what you stand for and what boundaries are non-negotiable for you. You know what I mean?
That was good. And I would, like, made other notes about it too, because, like, I'm not gonna lie, I know a few people in my life who are relationship girls. Okay, there's no hate, but it's just like, do you know yourself? You know? I feel like in a relationship, I don't know about you, but when I was such a toxic relationship that I didn't even know what I was into anymore. I didn't know, because I was just so focused and hyper fixated on trying to fit what he wanted that I forgot what I liked to wear. Bitch, I was wearing active. Who? Bitch, me? Like, could never. But I remember just, I didn't know what music, you know what I mean? My music was all over the place. The way I would dress was all over the place. And my interests were all over the place because I was just so concentrated on him. That if you don't give yourself the time frame to just date yourself again and rediscover yourself again after a breakup, who are you? You don't even know yourself anymore, you know?
I remember after this most recent breakup, and I went out to lunch with my one friend, and he sat there, looked me dead in the eyes, and was like, "Are you happy?" And I was like, "Well," and he was like, "Well, what are things that make you happy?" And I was like,
"That's a tough question."
Well, and then he was like, "So you're not happy, you're just living." He's like, "You're just living day to day, but you're not feeling genuine happiness." And then I remember, like, we had this conversation too, where I was like, "I feel like I faked it for so long that I just can't tell anymore if I'm genuinely happy or if I'm just faked it so much to the point where I think I'm happy, but I really don't know." You know what I mean? And then where I now go to do all these, like, things or activities, and I'm like, does this make me happy? Do I feel happy and fulfilled in my life? I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I love that you brought that up, because I remember sitting through therapy, and, like, even one of my bosses was like, okay, you're going to have homework today and you're going to go figure out what makes you happy. Because I shit, you know, I couldn't even tell somebody what my favorite hobby was, bitch. Because what was my favorite hobby at the time? Bitch, texting my baby daddy. Mm-hmm. Figuring out who that man was with. That was my favorite hobby, bitch. Because I was just crazy as hell. I was crazy as fuck. And I just, you know, like, really, if you ask yourself, really, what do you... It's okay. I heard that one, but it's all right. But, like, really, if you ask yourself and you just don't even know, like, what you like to do, you know, that's concerning. Find your interests again. Find you again. And strengthen yourself. And be confident again. You know, even if that does take you to go chop your hair off or cutting up some bangs. I don't know about the bangs, but, you know, maybe being blonde or being, you know, dyeing your hair red, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a TikTok of, I forget what her name is. She was, like, big on YouTube. Basically, like, when you're single, that is the greatest season of your life. Even though, yes, people think that being in a relationship is the most thing that is so desired or is that what everybody wants, but the most treasurable season in your life is when you're single, because mm-hmm. you are really discovering who you are, what you want, and you learn to love yourself. And then, you know, inevitably you're going to have more standards, because if you can mm-hmm. go take yourself out on a date, if you can go take yourself down to the beach and get yourself your favorite meal and get yourself flowers, why couldn't a man do that? Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's so important to love yourself in your season of being single, because you'll find yourself in all the wrong places if you don't. Mm-hmm. I swear.
But I feel like a big thing that helped through my breakup was finding things that I genuinely enjoy doing or participating in post breakup.
If it's one thing, Kaylin is so good about that. You genuinely inspired me. Like, when you go golfing, when you go, like, and it's also like a boundary thing. Like, no, I'm gonna go golf. No, I have to go sleep early. Like, literally, this girl has left our hangouts and did parties and get togethers like a little shorter just because she had to go surf in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, you go out and go do stuff for yourself. You take yourself out on dates, and I love that.
Yeah, I think, and this was something that we talked about too, especially when our one other friend was going through her breakup. And it was, you are so used to, especially if you've been with that person for such a long time, you're mm-hmm. so used to your life kind of revolving around that person, whether you intentionally yes. made it that way or not. That's usually what happens in a relationship. You spend a majority of your time with that person. And so then when you break up, now you have all this extra free time. You're not constantly talking to the same person. You're not constantly seeing the same mm-hmm. person. What are you going to do with that time? You know what I mean? And I think in mm-hmm. this most recent breakup, I was like, I'm not going to sit here and sulk. I was like, it's the summer. Like, let me go out and go tan. Let me go to the beach. Let me go surf. Mm-hmm. Let me go.
Hot girl walk.
Yeah, let me go do my hot girl walks. You know, what mm-hmm. is going to make me feel good right now? You know what I mean? What is going to make me feel productive? What is going to make me feel yeah. like I'm doing something to better my life? To not be yeah. in 6 months in the same place that I am today. So that when I look mm-hmm. back on this, I can say, yeah, we broke up. But look at my life now. Look yeah. at my life now and the people in my life now. It is 10 yes. times better than it was mm-hmm. back in mm-hmm. that time. So I feel like finding things that, the little things that bring you joy. It could just be yeah. walking around the block. It could be mm-hmm. going to a workout class, starting a new hobby. I did surfing and golfing. You know, I did pickleball. There are so many opportunities.
And you're out a Pilates there. Queen.
Yes. And Kaylin, so are you.
A Pilates queen.
So are you.
At home.
At home. Yeah.
I'm a reformer at home.
But, you know, there are so many opportunities out there. Yeah, but a big completely. Thing about it is going to do it alone. And I feel like that's what stops most people, because they don't want to do it alone. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, honestly, I've had the best experiences doing it alone. Had the best experience, like, going to workout classes. I've gone with friends and I've gone alone, and I kind of vibe mm-hmm. with going alone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of course, there are those certain things where you can't go alone, like surfing. I would never go surfing alone because it's kind of dangerous. You know
safety
what I mean?
Reasons.
But, uh-huh. You know, I feel like it helps you get over that fear of being alone. It helps you learn how to sit with yourself and be comfortable in your own presence without needing somebody else there, or without needing to be on your phone and constantly checking your social media, which is also why I think not having Instagram is kind of, you know, a blessing in disguise, and why I think I kind of have settled with the idea of not having one, is because it was during this time when it got hacked. And so I didn't have social media to go and turn to when I was bored. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to sit there and be okay just in my own company. And I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and a lot about my healing specifically and my journey of growth through that time period.
Yeah. I love that, honestly. But you know what? I will say, I love doing things on my own. Like, I've been to the beach by myself. I've literally gone, because there were days where I craved Japanese curry so fucking bad. I sat there alone and I ate alone. Or I'll just sit at a diner and just like stare at nothing. I'm not on my phone, you know? But like, at the time, I will say it is a lot easier said than done to like go and like do it alone, because it was for me, because I was just so unhinged. Like, I was so scared to sit alone with my thoughts. I was so scared of being alone because my feelings and my emotions would consume me if I didn't. I couldn't even sit down and read, because like people would say, oh, you should read a book. Bitch, my mind was moving 1,000 miles an hour, let alone sitting down in a confined space reading a book, you know? So I did turn to like not so good things, like drinking and partying and stuff. But, you know, it's the moment, like you said, where you just kind of, you have to break a habit. You know, if people are listening to this, if someone has found this and is like, how am I supposed to go walk by myself? You know, because honestly, I was so crazy, bitch. I would have been like, who is he? Is he walking by himself? No, he's walking with a bitch. Like, he's walking with somebody else. He's walking. Who he should be? And then I'm like stuck in this deep, dark hole of trying to search who he's talking to. You know, like, I get that part. But you have to break the habit. Like, you have to break habit in order to start a new one.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give yourself time, because it's not easy. Be gracious with yourself and don't feel guilty about, you know, like, oh, I thought about him today. Ah, there's no progress. You know, it's so normal to grieve somebody, but it's just like, don't act about it and don't let it consume you. Just time out and breathe and just, you know, go to therapy. Like, you know, find other hobbies like that you can only do by yourself. Because, you know, not everybody's down to go spend money for a petty.
Find things where you're going to go by yourself, but you're going to meet new people doing whatever that thing is. So then,
what's some examples? Can you think of one like that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so there's this app, or I don't know. It's like experience. It's like an experience. It's called 222. And it's all through, well, they have an app now, but it used to be all through text when they were first starting it up. And basically, they'll send you, let me see if I have like their most recent one. It'll say your name, and then 222 is inviting you to our experience near, and then it'll say whatever city, and then it'll say the date and time. And then below that, it'll say this experience will start with dinner with your closest matches and continue to a prohibition era inspired liquor room with other 222 members. If you go into the app, if you go to an experience, you connect with other people at that experience, they're considered your match, not necessarily in like a romantic way. And then, you know, they plan these events for you to go to, and you don't know everyone that's going to be there. You just know the date and time. You don't know specifically where it's going to be until you've RSVP'd and they've confirmed your spot there. You can bring a guest, so like if I wanted to bring you, you can bring one extra person. Some events you can bring more than one. But it's a really cool experience. I've not gone to any yet, because they all happen
going
to be
to.
For the most part, they all happen to be on days where I have work, and you can't just, I think now you can go to one or the other. You don't have to go to both, but previously you had to start with the dinner and then go to the experience after. You had to do both, because the way that they set up the dinner needed X amount, they would organize it. Oh, so there was X amount of people at a table. So if you RSVP'd and then didn't show up, it would throw off experience for everyone at whatever table you were placed at. And so they're pretty strict on that. But that's definitely a great way to go out and meet people. You can go alone. You can go with a friend, so if you feel more comfortable doing that. But you're also getting to do something new and go somewhere new, like go to new places and have these new experiences. There's also a surf club. If there's any surfers listening, it's in San Diego. It's called Après Surf. It could be anyone of any experience, from beginner to pro. You just go. They post on their Instagram what day, what time, how the swell is going to be. They recommend which type of wetsuit to wear. And after the surf, you go to this like cafe bar type thing and you just hang out with everyone who was there. Hopefully one day I'll get to go, but I just follow along on their social media. And it's just, it seems like such a cool experience to just be a part of something like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I love that. See, it's not scary. It is scary to go alone, but I love how they do allow you to bring a guest, just not too many, because then that can kind of turn out into also like the reservation numbers, whatever. But like, it can turn into a group hangout of your own rather than actually experiencing the purpose of going out and meeting people.
And it's nice because they're all, for the most part, around the area that you're in. You know, it's a nice way to meet people. And even if you're kind of in the business world and you need to build connections and network, I feel like that's also a really great way to do it.
Like, you never know who's going to be there. You'll never know. Yes, period. Well, that's the first episode, bitch. Oh my God. Well, you know, a part of Love Club. Yes. Is there anything else you want to add?
Maybe just, if you are going through a breakup right now, it's hard. Believe me. Yeah. We have all been there. Whether you know the breakup was needed or not, maybe it was unexpected, it's hard. And it's hard to let go of somebody, whether you were with them for a couple months or a couple years, it's hard to let go of somebody that meant so much to you for however amount of time, you know what I mean? And so give yourself some grace. It'll take time. As cliche as it sounds, time really does heal. But kind of take this as more of a blessing in disguise. Some time for you to self-reflect and learn about things that you want out of life, things that you want out of your next relationship, what kind of boundaries you want to set up for yourself, what's going to help you moving forward live a happier life, what is more fulfilling to you, you know? And as hard as it is, and as much as you want to go back to that person, just know there is a reason why they're being removed from your life. And you may not know it yet right now, and you may not understand it, but it's not for you to understand at this moment, because that will come with time.
Yeah. I feel like also that some people will never give you a reason. Some people will not give you closure that you think you deserve. And you may have been cheated on. They may have been disloyal on whatever. Like, whatever you think you deserve, you do deserve. But not everyone, as far as a breakup goes, they will not handle it in the way that you think that you deserve. And that's okay. And I think that is the part of acceptance and grieving. And it's okay to be upset. I feel like I would always hate myself for not being over it, not being more gracious about it, or like more silent about it. I feel like it's however you want to heal is how you heal. Just protect yourself, protect your peace, you know, but don't shame yourself for being sad over a breakup. Don't shame yourself for why do I still want him? That's okay, especially if you're broken up with. But just like, anybody can still want something. Like, I had a therapist who was like, well, you're craving him, right? It's like a diet. Like, did you eat the chocolate? No, it's normal to have cravings. It's normal to have, and you for a long time may have been in a relationship where you were in a relationship. So obviously you're used to the love. You're used to receiving that love. So when it's taken away from you, it's like, what's happening to me? And that's okay. Be gracious with yourself. Give yourself time. Let yourself heal. And don't hate yourself into healing yourself. You have got to love yourself to heal yourself. And judging yourself and shaming yourself for feeling the feelings of a breakup, you're not gonna heal properly, babe. You just gotta keep pushing through it. But I think that's all for this episode. For Love Club episode one.
Wait.
Oh, Keelan's sending hearts. Put the mic down. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Well, that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you, Queen, for giving all your experience and your advice. Sending you and giving you love. Thank you for listening if you listen to all of this. But yes, we love you and talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.